In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You've found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome to the Tom Woods Show, episode 330. And today we're talking to Cody Drummond, who is the CEO and founder of the Peacekeeper app. This is just perfect for my audience. The Peacekeeper app is described as a tool that gives individuals and families a way to effectively safeguard their own households and communities. And the idea is that you build systems of emergency protection and you rely less on the current emergency response system, which is not necessarily going to help you in time. You need your own system that'll get you the help you need quickly, not after the fact, not after you're dead or after your stuff has been taken. That's what the Peacekeeper app is all about. So very interesting to talk to Cody Drummond. Now, two things before we turn to Cody Drummond, however. The first thing is, I was just finishing up recording a video for one of my courses for RonPaulHomeschool.com before I talked to Cody Drummond. And when I do that, I have the microphone off at a little bit of a distance, and I don't have the pee popper on it. It's a long story why, but a pee popper is something that keeps certain letters of the alphabet from coming through your speaker too harshly, like the P, to a lesser extent the letter B. These things come through as mini explosions if you don't have a pee popper on your microphone. Well, when I went to talk to Cody, I didn't put it back on. And so the letter P is going to be coming through to you pretty vigorously. And naturally, of course, it has to be on an episode where I'm talking about the Peacekeeper app with a big letter P right at the front. So, you know, look, I'm sorry, right? I'm just a regular guy doing a show, and once in a while you have a glitch like this. It's still eminently listenable, but I just thought I'd let you know that, yes, by episode 330, I do know what a pee popper is. I just didn't happen to have it on at the time. Second thing is, remember, I have a free ebook for you guys that just came out a week or two ago, and it's called 14 Hard Questions for Libertarians Answered. And you can get it at TomWoods.com. Right at the top of TomWoods.com, you'll see a little thing saying, hey, you know, sign up for Tom's newsletter, which comes like once a week, and it's just me telling you what I'm doing. And you get this free ebook, and it's a big book. And for by ebook standards, free ebook standards, usually it's like 5 to 10 pages of fluff. This is a real live book with stuff that'll help make you a better debater. 14 Hard Questions for Libertarians Answered. Check that out at TomWoods.com. All right, we're going to turn now to my conversation with Cody Drummond with the letter P slightly exploding in your ears, but that will make it all the more, I don't know, fun? I don't know. Here's Cody Drummond. Cody Drummond, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom. Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've had a number of requests to talk to you about the Peacekeeper app, and it looks very interesting, and I've looked at your website, and I've looked into a little bit of it, but I didn't want to kind of spoil it. I wanted to be able to ask you personally questions about it and find out more details. It sounds very interesting, and it's the kind of project that shows how we can take ideas that might have seemed really difficult and theoretical in terms of how to implement them, and actually implement them thanks to the technology that we have today. I assume that you came at the app from a libertarian perspective, and you thought, how can I take these libertarian ideas and bring them into the real world?
That's a little bit of it. You know, most of it was really not as political as it was just me wanting to do the right thing for myself and my family. I am a libertarian, but I like to think of Peacekeeper as kind of non-political.
Right. So give me the 30-second to 1-minute pitch for what exactly it is, and then we'll go into the details.
Awesome. And just a warning, you might hear a little back brown noise. That is the children. There's three of them. So sorry for that.
I have five of them. That's why I have this office. I know completely what you're talking about. It just makes it more authentic, you know?
All right. I like that.
Yeah, no problem at all. Yeah, we're a very family-friendly show here.
Great. So really, you know, Peacekeeper is kind of a company and a movement. As a company, we are working to develop technologies and networks that really are going to empower people to protect themselves and their loved ones. Right now, the big deal is kind of the Peacekeeper smartphone app, which allows people to send, receive, and respond to pretty detailed emergency alerts. The idea is that anything you would call 911 for, you can use Peacekeeper for and get response faster. So, you know, that's the first thing we've kind of built out. We are going to be working to build out more things in the future. But that's kind of the short run of it.
Well, who exactly are the responders? If I use the Peacekeeper app, who's going to come help me?
So the people that we encourage you to go to for emergency response are your friends, family, and neighbors, for a couple reasons. One is that they are the closest people to you when an emergency actually happens. So they're going to be able to get there the fastest. And two, they have a personal incentive to make sure that you're taken care of and to look out for your well-being.
Well, do I have to then, does that mean that when I get the app, I have to more or less sign up everybody I know? I mean, it sounds kind of involved.
In a way, yeah, you do have to connect with the people you know. It's as involved as like Facebook is, where you got to kind of get on there and search for the people you want to link up with and link up with them. So it's not a ton of work, but you do have to do a little something.
Now, do you think is the idea of this that it is superior, is it could be a superior system to just calling the police and crossing your fingers?
Absolutely. You know, we get a lot of critiques from people saying that we're telling people to use our system instead of 911. And my retort to that is to kind of tell people, no, we're telling people to use our system instead of having absolutely nothing to depend on. Because if you actually look at the statistics, if something's going down at your house and you call 911 or you're calling the police for help, the police will show up after the crime is committed. They will not show up in time to stop the crime. So we're telling people the system that we have doesn't work. We can either sit around and wish that, you know, we're taken care of if an emergency happens, or we can actually do something to protect one another.
How long has the app been in existence? When did you release it?
So the app has been in existence, I want to say almost about 9 months now. It's been on the iOS store, and it's probably been on the Android store for, I think, around 6 months.
Is it a free app, or do you pay for it?
The app is free. You can download it for free right now if you go on either of the iStore or the Android Google Play Store. You just type in Peacekeeper and look for the blue and red shield, and you can download it for free.
All right, suppose I've got it on my phone right now. What do I see? What is it? What do I do? What is it? What's showing up on my screen?
So on the main screen of the app, you're going to see the four major emergency alerts, which is medical, fire, intruder, and abduction. And the way it works is you would get the app. Maybe you talk to your brother, mother, sister, neighbor about it. Let them know how to find you on the network. They can link up with you. And after you've linked up, if anything goes down, you just hit one of those emergency alerts on the home screen, and you're going to get a little pop-up that asks you to confirm the alert. And once you confirm it, it's already got all your information pre-saved in the system. So instead of having to sit on the phone with like a 911 operator for 30 seconds to a minute and give them all your information, that's all going to go out in about 4 seconds. They're going to have your address. They're going to have the emergency detail that you put out. They're going to have a picture of you. They're going to have the option to communicate, to chat. There's a little button for the responders to press that says on it, where it shows everyone else in the network that someone is responding to the emergency.
All right. Well, suppose I'm on the receiving end of one of those notifications. It's somebody else who's having some, you know, let's say there's a burglar in the house. Is that the kind of, by the way, is that the kind of thing you're envisioning? There's a burglar in the house, or there's a suspicious person outside, or that sort of thing?
That probably will happen, but the most common emergencies are medical. So usually it could be someone's had a heart attack, my child needs CPR, someone's having a seizure, someone broke a leg, I need a ride to the hospital. Those will be most of the emergencies that occur. Medical emergencies are much more common than break-ins. But we want to be able to handle everything at some point. So the idea is, you know, you can be as involved as you want to be. So when you sign up for the system, you're not committing to go into someone's house with a gun if there's a burglar.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Right. Because I mean, then if the whole point of it is I get the alert and then that just makes me call the police, then you could have called the police.
Right. And what we tell people, because we encourage training, but we tell people only go into a situation where you're comfortable. If you're trained in self-defense and know how to use a weapon, which a lot of our users are, a lot of our users are ex or current law enforcement as well. Then if you think that you can help someone in that situation, then you should help them. That's just the right thing to do. If you don't feel prepared or confident, you can go up front and honk your horn. You can shine your flashlight through the window. You can call the police if you want to. You can call their people for help. At the end of the day, that person is better off if you know something's going on than if you're just totally in the dark.
Now, I would think you are going to want to get, obviously, any app developer is going to want to get as much publicity as you possibly can. But for something like this, especially because you need, for it to work, you do need a decent number of people to be interested in it, to be willing to give it a try, to have heard of it. Has that been the biggest uphill climb, is just to spread the word?
It has. You know, a lot of the difficulties have just been, you know, personally for the company is just getting off the ground. You know, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I got three kids. This stuff is expensive. I have a full-time and part-time job on top of the Peacekeeper stuff. So, you know, it's been a work in progress. I'm still moving forward, but without financial backing and without a huge audience, it is kind of difficult, but we'll get there. We're moving in the right direction.
Did you ever consider using a Kickstarter style crowdsourcing?
In the very beginning, we did try an Indiegogo crowdsourcing when we had like nothing going on yet, and we didn't even get close to meeting our goals, mainly because I just didn't do it right and couldn't commit the time to it. Right now, we're working on building out the next version of Peacekeeper. We're calling it 2.0, and it's kind of going to be the version that everyone's been wanting for and asking for, with all the features that people have been requesting and some of the changes and tweaks from the stuff we've learned with the first version. And there will likely be an Indiegogo for that version.
I know it's still relatively early in the history of the app, but are you able to know whether or not, and to what extent and how often, people have successfully used it? Or have you heard anecdotal evidence or anything like that?
You know, we don't really have much to go off at all right now. We've got a user base of about 3,000 to 4,000 people. And it hasn't really been out there that long. And if you think about how often these emergencies happen, they're actually very rare. You know, it's
right.
Kind of like a form of insurance, but a very necessary one. So with this small of an audience, we don't really have anything to go off. But I really feel that when the audience grows and we get a lot more people, we will have a lot more information to use.
If you had a dream team of programmers, what capabilities would you want Peacekeeper to have that it doesn't have presently?
Well, I can talk to you about some of the updates that I'm sure it will have in the next version, which is going to have
Great.
Location awareness. You're going to have the ability to customize some of the alerts. You're going to have the ability to have sound beacons coming from the app. So if you're in a house with a fire, you can send out the fire alert and it'll send out a sound beacon from your phone if someone comes into your location. One of the things I would really like to move forward with in the future is to get beyond an app where we can have home automation. So if someone kicks your door down, you don't have to hit a button. The home is interacting with the alert system, so it automatically sends the alert out to your friends, family, and neighbors. We want to have the smoke alarms that will detect smoke and automatically send alerts. And we also want to have the wearable gear, which would be a wristband that's detecting your heart rate. So if you have a heart attack, it sends the alert out to your network. If your wife is running and she hits a button on her bracelet, it will send the alert out to you and show you where she's at. Same with your kids. So that's where we ultimately want to go with it. We want to have a really, truly reliable network of emergency protection. And right now with the current system, we don't have anything even close to that.
I hope I won't be asking a question out of turn, so to speak, when the entrepreneur in me is curious to know how you monetize something like this.
Right, right. So, and that's been the difficulty from day one. You know, we've had some false starts. We originally tried to sell the app, and it did not work well. And we've kind of concluded that trying to sell the app is not going to get us where we need to be. We are considering doing some in-app purchases. We're considering, we've already established partnerships with trainers where people can sign up for memberships and get training. We're likely going to be offering training through local trainers like self-defense trainers, firearms trainers. So the idea is that you can use the app to get your group trained in your neighborhood and get heavy, heavy discounts on that. So we would be working with local trainers in areas all across the country. I'd like to build out a very good membership program where people could pay a monthly or yearly membership and get some really cool perks out of it by being a member. And you don't have to be a member to use the app, but if you want to kind of get involved with the movement more, kind of similar to what the NRA does, you sign up and become a member, and that helps support the system.
Well, I would be inclined to do that. Certainly, if the app actually helped somebody, you would think that person would say, you know, maybe I should be a member. Maybe I should help them out. I'll get the Peacekeeper hat. I'll get whatever the benefits are, and I'll feel like I'm saying a thank you. And even if you haven't, thank heavens, had any type of emergency you've needed to respond to, I increasingly, since I'm a content creator myself, I'm more sensitive to this, that I really benefit from something, and I know the person's working really hard to produce it. I should kick in something. I think about my favorite organizations that I like, or the favorite shows that I listen to, or whatever, or anything that's helping me, or even freeware. I get some free software, and then they say, well, if you're a sucker and you'd like to make a donation, please do. I'm that sucker. In case you're wondering, does anybody ever do that? I do that. And I'm just hopeful that people will get to a point where they stop and appreciate that in this new world of everything being free, every app is free, every show is free, that occasionally you say a thank you by making a little contribution.
Yes, absolutely. And, along those lines, you can go to peacekeeper.org. Under the vision page, there's a donate button. If you want to become a member, go to the tribe section. There's a couple options there, and there's some cool perks listed. And if you want to get training, go to the Guardian section. We've partnered with some outstanding trainers, former Navy SEALs, former Blackwater trainers, and they're very passionate about what we're doing. We're very passionate about what they're now doing, and they're trying to get common everyday people trained, the company's Pulse. So you can sign up through our program, get a Peacekeeper Pulse membership, and the price is pretty dang good, and the training's pretty awesome too.
How did this idea come to you in the first place? Was there a particular incident where you said, boy, that would have been great if these people had had access to something like this? Or were you just sitting around thinking about what contribution can I make to society? How did it come up?
As I started to realize how bad the current emergency response system was, I really saw that gap in the market. And over time, after looking at the statistics, realized, wow, like there's a huge, huge need here, not just for for the society in general, but also for my own family. You know, most people don't really think about this too much in the day, but especially at night when we go to bed, we lock our doors. A lot of us sleep next to a weapon, a gun, or a baseball bat, because this is always on our mind. We're concerned that something could happen. And it's a very real thought that people worry about a lot, but don't think a lot about the solution to this problem. And so I just saw an area that I thought I could build something that would really benefit my own family and work towards kind of a future that I really want to live in.
Did you already have a background in app design? I mean, are you the tech guy, or are you the idea guy, or both?
No, my background is in construction. So I have no background in tech whatsoever. So I hired some developers and paid them to code the app. I outsourced the first version. The Peacekeeper 2.0 will be in-house. We're bringing on some in-house developers that are really passionate about what we're doing. But I kind of worked, paid for it, and I built out all the functions on paper and all the screens on paper. But as far as the background coding, that's not me.
Well, we'll have links to the app both for the iPhone and the Android, as well as to your social media and website and everything on the show notes page for today, www.tomwoods.com/330. But all the same, why don't you share with us how people can find out more about this and any parting words you may have?
Yeah, if you want to find out more, you can go to peacekeeper.org. There's a lot of information there. If you want to just jump right in and get the app, then just go to either the iOS Apple Store or the Google Play Store and search for Peacekeeper. Look for the red and blue shield, and you can download it there. As far as parting words, you know, I would just say that this system, I believe, can really help save people's lives. It can really help build the future that a lot of libertarians believe in and want to work towards. So give it a shot. Check it out. You know, it's something that's real. It's something that's practical. And it's something that people can do now to kind of start to cause change in their world. You know, the more we can rely on each other and ourselves, the less we have to rely on strangers and government, and the less we have to depend on those people. So I think it's worth a couple minutes taking a look at.
All right, that is probably the best pitch you could have made to my audience there. So very interesting. People should check out peacekeeper.org. Check out all the links on the show notes page for today over at tomwoods.com. And Cody Drummond, thanks for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Take care.
All right, everybody. Remember the show notes page, tomwoods.com/330. And remember to get your free ebook, 14 Hard Questions for Libertarians Answered. Get it at tomwoods.com. Right at the top of the page, you'll see how to do it, and you'll be getting it. Next week, we got some interesting guests. We got some Europeans lined up. We got Bob Murphy lined up to talk about why Tom Hartman is all wrong about, I don't know, anything. I don't know. So it's going to be a lot of fun, because Bob did a critique of something that Hartman wrote about tax policy, trying to claim that when you lower taxes on the rich, disaster strikes. And, you know, it got 8 million shares, and everybody thinks he really stuck it to them. But he's wrong on every single empirical point. He's wrong. So we're going to have some fun going through that. So make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss any of these episodes. And we'll see you next week.
The Tom Woods Show.